to you. This is from Sierra Maness, put this online. She said, Jack, that's her little son, Jack heard this playing on my phone, so he came to look. I showed him and said, that's Dave at church. He said, oh, Mommy, church, come on, and he went straight to the door. My heart instantly broke. I pray that all this ends soon so we can do the things we took for granted.
Amen.
Now that was, you know, she's just a young mom, and she's just talking about, you know, her Jake, Jack doesn't know it's quarantine time. You know, he just said, what are you doing? Hey, we're supposed to be at church, you know, and we're not able to do that, you know. Certainly want to tell everybody at home that's watching us that, man, we miss you. We went by, saw Princess Reed this afternoon and asked her how many plagues or how many quarantines that she's been through in her life. And I figured this out after talking to her. She has seen and witnessed everything but the great flood. You know, she was talking, you know, I mean, she said she went through the measles. She went through the smallpox. She went through polio. And I said, the only thing you missed was the flood. Miss Prince, of course, she's 93. You know, we didn't touch her. We stayed our 6 feet away from her, but it was good to see her. It was very odd for me. I'm one of the highlights. When I go over to her house, I mean, she hugs me from the moment I walk in that door to the moment I leave, and it was sad not to be able to do that today. You know, Lord willing, this isn't going to last forever. Let me read this to you before we get going tonight. This is from one of my favorite missionaries, John Patton. And John Patton and his wife set sail to New Hebride Island in 1858. But the decision did not come without criticism. On one account, before leaving, a respected elder chided the couple. You will be eaten by cannibals. And the reason why he said that is because the two missionaries that had gone to this island before him did exactly that. They landed on the beach, and shortly thereafter, they were eaten by cannibals. You will be eaten by cannibals, to which Patton responded, Mr. Dixon, you are advanced in years now, and your own prospect is soon to be laid in the grave, there to be eaten by worms. I confess to you that if I can but live and die serving and honoring the Lord Jesus, it will make no difference to me whether I'm eaten by cannibals or by worms. I thought that was pretty cool. You know, these missionaries that went before us, David Livingston, Amy Carmichael, Adoniram Judson, people that I grew up hearing about when I was little, you know, when they went to these places, they went by ship. They were not able to leave very, very fast. They didn't have automatic bank drafts. Missionaries today can get funds from the U.S. in a matter of minutes through a bank draft. They didn't have that. The only way they can communicate with other people is by mail. And that would take forever. I mean, very, very little correspondence at all. They were going to places where, you know, they hadn't even done open heart surgery or anything like that yet. So your prospects of surviving anything big was slim. And yet they set sail in the middle of known adversity. You know, if we could just tap whatever this couple felt, whatever they had, whatever made them comfortable enough to get on that ship, if we could just channel that to this thing right here today. Wow. You know, I mean, and you know, people said, hey, you probably shouldn't do that. These are things that are going to lie ahead of you. They had a peace and comfort. They were not ignorant to the possibilities of what could happen. They just knew that ultimately, you know, that they had to trust the Lord. They believed that's what God wanted them to do. And off they went, and they made a big impact on the area that they went. And I thought tonight that that's what we would do this evening with the Bible. Let me just shut this thing off. It's just look, if you would, take your Bibles and go to Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1. And I want you, if you would, begin looking at verse 12. Philippians chapter 1, verse 12, and we'll pray. Father, thank you for your word. Lord, thank you for being able to come back to your house this evening. And Lord, I just pray you'd help us tonight as we open the Bible, and that you would encourage us. Thank you for being able to be around your word this morning. And Lord, you know, tomorrow's, I mean, this thing changes so fast. The president made another announcement today, and we really don't know where we'll be as far as our country goes this time next week. Lord, but we know one thing for sure. You don't change. You don't move, and you always be there. And we can trust in that, and I pray that you would encourage, help us to see, if you were here today, what would you tell us, and what would be your advice to us during this time? And Jesus, thank you for being so kind, loving, and forgiving. We ask this in your precious name. Amen. And we're going to gather and get a lot of help from Paul this evening. If you look here in verse 12, it says this. But I would you should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather under the furtherance of the gospel. When you think about some of the things that happened in the Apostle Paul, many times we read about him being arrested, and then sometimes we'll read about him being shipwrecked, and then we read about him one time being stoned so bad he was left for dead. And over again, he had one hardship after the other. And here's what he said, okay? If you were to ask him, Paul, why are all these things happening to you? You know, you're supposed to be a believer under the watch care of God, and you've got one bad thing happening to you after the other. You know, you might look at this today and say, okay, what's the bigger picture here? And obviously, there is a bigger picture. It's not just about a virus, okay? It's not just about a virus. It's beyond that. It's like, what would be God's wisdom and advice to us during this time? How do we wrap our mind around that from a Christian point of view of what we're supposed to do with this thing? And here's what he said. He said, you should understand, brethren, the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel. One thing we cannot say, I mean, do you believe that God loves the world? Do you believe God loves people? Do you believe God loves America? Do you believe God wants to get people's attention? Well, absolutely. To say that that's not an underlying thing in something like this would be crazy, because it's got the whole world looking. Not just America, the whole world is looking. In my lifetime, I've never seen anything like that. I'm way, way too young for World War II. Vietnam, I was born on the very end of it. Since then, the biggest thing we had was 9/11, and I do remember that briefly. The Sunday after 9/11, church was packed. The Sunday after that, it was packed. The Sunday after that, you could see a little downfall, and then very, very shortly, we went back to the way we lived and the things that we did. There for a moment, he had America's attention. There for a moment, churches were full. And then all of a sudden, and time goes by, and we go back to what we're used to doing. And we know one day God's coming back, and we know he's not willing that any should perish, and that he's long-suffering. Between now and the point that God does come back, you're going to see things happen. And although it may not look like that now, but what you see is a very merciful God that's giving people an opportunity to rethink some things. And Paul says here, have you ever thought about the things that I've gone through has happened for the furtherance of the gospel? That maybe by us experiencing this, it's got open doors, and we can't ignore them. We can't pretend that they don't exist. Well, and we certainly want to be able to take advantage of them. In order to do that, we need to be where we, in the right place that we need to be in our hearts and our minds. Now is the time to make sure that each individual, and if you're a leader of your home, man, now's the time to make sure that you're where you need to be spiritually and where I need to be spiritually. Why? Because this is an opportunity. This is an opportunity to let the world see how we respond to something like this. And what ought to be, well, I mean, you know what ought to be? It ought to be Corona and the gospel all in the same breath. Because there's nothing that's going to bring more comfort to somebody in realizing, listen, there's ultimate help, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ for eternity. And he said this, he said, but I would you should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all places and in all other places, so that what I'm going through not only stays here, but goes everywhere. As a voice goes out of worry, we can counter it with a voice of hope through Jesus Christ. People will be watching everything you do, everything that you say. You know, the church ought to be, certainly we want to listen to what people say. We know there's things that we can do to not get this virus or keep from spreading it. But don't also forget something else that we need to do. And that is actively be talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. You would hate, this is an opportunity that we haven't had before. This is an opportunity to go out and where there's occasion to do so, to show people the love of Christ, to let people know that God cares about them. And when they see inside of us, instead of seeing worry, there's a way to be safe and not to worry. There's a way to be safe and not to be afraid. There's a way to be safe and not neglect our duty, you know, to proclaim the gospel. There's a way to do that. And when people look at us, we don't want them to see fear. We want to see hope. Hope in this, that ultimately when I go home tonight, I told you this morning, I got to put it in God's hands. I can only wash mine so many times. Then, got to put it in His hands. I can think about everything I've touched and who I've met and where I've been and try to follow that chain. And you know, at the end of the day, I got to take that off of me and just lay it aside. You know, Maggie and I were talking about, okay, do we have enough groceries and so on and so forth. And you know, if you were to try, so they get to think, well, what can we do if there's no food in a grocery store? Well, we can go actually buy a real pig, take it home, feed it. But you know what I found out today? They're hard to find right now. You know, I mean, you can only see so far around the corner. You can only see so far in the future, and then eventually you're going to have to take your hands off of it. And you're going to have to lay it right smack in the lap of God and let Him worry about it. And what Paul's saying here is that this door opened up to him in the gospel. And look at here in verse 14, and many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds. He said that when other people heard that I was in jail, they actually became stronger in their faith, that it encouraged them to do more. I mean, you would think that would cause people to run the other way. Paul said the more people heard about what he was going through, the more bold they became. The more that they started to get out there and spread the word. Because look how it's written here in verse 14. And many of the brethren in the Lord waxing confident by my bonds. Do you know, you set the tone for your home. If you're confident in the Lord, if you're relying on Him, if you're leaning on Him, guess what? They're going to lean on Him. If you're afraid, they're going to be afraid. If you're worrying, they're going to worry. But you can go and you can turn it just the opposite. If you're confident, they're going to be confident. Amen. If you're not afraid, they're not going to be afraid. And he's saying, as I wasn't afraid and I stood strong, other people around me gained courage from that, and they stayed strong. Because one thing you don't want to do through this is on all the other things we're going through, is that God's always been the one that took care of us. Now, we've not always given Him credit for that. We think it's our good health or our jobs or whatever. But ultimately, every breath I ever take in my life has been because of God. And so he's saying that because of my bonds, this is what's happening. And other people have gotten excited about it. So that many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word, look at that, without fear. They were able to speak it without fear. Why? Because Paul wasn't afraid, and he was standing strong, and he was doing what he was, and that spread to other people. And then they were able to do it without fear. Go to 2 Corinthians, if you would, chapter 1. 2 Corinthians, chapter 1, and then I want you to look at 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 1. Let's see. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. Go on down here to verse 2. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And look at verse 4. Who comfort us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble. Now look at this. Paul's talking about the Lord. Verse 2. Grace be to you and peace from who? God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. It's comforting to know the president cares. But you know what's way more comforting than that? To know that God cares. And here it says this. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father. Blessed be God, even the Father our Lord Jesus. the Father of mercies, and the God of all what? Comfort. The God of all comfort. The God of all comfort in any situation, who comforteth us, look at verse 4, in all our tribulation. Tribulation is another word for trouble. Anyways, you can put in there? Coronavirus. And you could say, who comfort us during this coronavirus, that we may be able to comfort them which are in what kind of trouble? Any trouble. Not just a specific trouble, any trouble. So you certainly, since it says any, guess where you can apply it right now? That where do we go from comfort? To the Lord Jesus Christ. And what comfort could he give me? So Greg, if you were to sit down with the Lord right now and say, hey, look, I got a family. You know, I got to go to work. What do I do? Anybody tell you? Say, Greg, I got this. Ever since you were born, I've been pumping life in your body. I've been watching over you when you didn't even acknowledge who I was. I'm not going to forget you now. And that's some comfort. To know that there's a better place to go, that's a comfort. And guess what? Never quite appreciated this truth until last 2 weeks. There's not going to be any disease in heaven. Won't exist. Not going to have to go through this. Why? Because, man, look at that. It says, who comfort us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. I don't go out there. I mean, I can try to tell you, wrap my mind around this and what I think and how long it's going to last and whatever, but that ain't going to comfort you. But if I took the comfort that God gives me, then I can turn around and give that comfort to you. I don't know what it's like to go through a pandemic. I don't know what it's like to go through a tribulation. All I know is that I to look at people who have, and the Apostle Paul owns that. Absolutely owns that. I mean, he saw all kinds of things happen. He owns it. He is qualified to tell me how to be comforted. And he said, you go out there and you comfort other people in a comfort that comforted me, and that comforts God. That's where it comes from. You know, the same way the song that you just sang about Stephen. A young man died preaching the gospel. And do you know, because of his testimony, the guy who wrote this became a believer because of Stephen's testimony. And now what he's doing, he's out there comforting people with this very same thing. It says, for as the suffering of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth in Christ. He says, you take the weight of the tribulation or what I go through, and it weighs this much. Over here, you can put the consolation, and that word consolation is just another word for comfort. You can put over here the comfort of God, and it outweighs it. That's what he just said. Who comfort, verse 5, for as the suffering of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. And whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same suffering, which we also suffer. Or whether we be comforted, it is of your consolation and salvation. It says, when we suffer tribulation, it's to your help. And when we're comforted, it's also to your help. He's saying, these things we can share with people. Look at this. And our hope of you is steadfast. Verse 6. And whether, verse 7. And our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that ye are partakers of the suffering, so shall you also of the consolation. So as you suffer with us, you also receive the same comfort of God with us. Next verse. For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia. Look at this, that we were pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. I've never been. Look at what that says. All right, when they were in Asia, they met such difficulties. It says here that we were pressed out of measure, above strength. Up until now, no. But look what it says. Insomuch that we despaired even of life. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God, which raises the dead. I mean, they were in an environment where they didn't know whether they were going to live or die. Guys, I don't have no idea how this shakes out. Couldn't even begin to figure it out. I can honestly tell you, I'm not afraid, because I know he's in control. Now, we discussed it, Greg and I discussed about not wanting to. We've got more things we want to do for the Lord. But certainly to say that we couldn't see an even darker time than just being stuck in your house, somebody you love die, well, sure, it's a possibility. Be dumb not to realize that, right? But then when he goes on to say this, as you think about death, you got to think about life. He said that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God. And why did he say this part? Which raises the dead. Why did he say it like that? Because ultimately, guys, as long as I got Jesus, that's all I need. And the reason to continue down here is because there's people out there that don't have that. So now's the time. If you're going to get serious for God, don't wait till tomorrow. Start today. I mean, this could be, you know, I mean, you can turn your living room into an altar, and you can point that ship in the right direction right now. I mean, all of us, no doubt, we've only been in this a week, have all said, man, talk to Sean. Boy, if we get out of this, man, I want to get out there and start. We can't knock on the door now. Nobody's going to come to the door. You know, spray you with a water hose. Right now, very difficult to go out and start telling people about Jesus. They're going to run you off the road. We weren't doing that 3 weeks ago. Now we can't. That door opens back up again and we can. What are we going to do with it? You know, I mean, maybe not always been the dad or the mom or the husband or the kid that you ought to be. What would you be if this thing went away yesterday or today? What would you do? Let's just look at one more. Go to Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20 and verse 22. All right, here's again Paul. Paul's a good one to talk to about these things. Listen to him as he talks about this. And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesses in every city, saying that bonds and affliction abide me. So he's saying, I'm going to go to Jerusalem. I'm going to go in bonds. He said, I don't know what's there. All I know is that everywhere I go, the Holy Spirit tells me, hey, worse things are coming. That's all he knows. All he knows is that worse things are coming. That everywhere he goes, he's told that it's going to get worse. But you know what he says here? He says, but none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of grace. Look at that again. He didn't know what was ahead of him. Verse 22, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save the Holy Ghost witnesses in every city, saying that bonds and affliction abide me. He heard these, and what did he say? Oh, no, what am I going to do? He said, but none of these things move me. None of them moved him. Well, you know, we're going to hear more news, more updates, more this and more that. Don't let those things take place of what you know in your heart. And I'm not saying, I mean, I think you should listen to them. But in here, where you worry, don't let that take that real estate. None of these things moved him. It doesn't matter what they tell me on the news, Greg. It should not cause me to fall apart. It shouldn't move me. And I'm not talking about not listening, not washing your hands. That'd be dumb. Yeah, you need to do every bit of that stuff. You need to stay away from older people. All that's very important. I'm talking about inside. I mean, every human being, no matter how big of a man you have to think, They say in Iran, one person every 10 minutes. Even if I don't get it, that means somebody I knew would. And would that move me? When I start to be afraid, when I lose grip on what I believe and what I know. And guys, this is the time now to have those talks with the Lord. The Bible says a prudent man sees the day coming. You know, I mean, people say, well, this will be over with in 2 weeks. Well, what's your emotional state going to be in 2 weeks if it's not over? Then what if they get back on the news and say, well, it's going to be 2 months. And we hit the 2 months mark and it's not over. What happens if, unfortunately, somebody that's dear to us is affected by this? See, that's why it's so important now to put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I don't know how he did it. I just know he wasn't an angel and he wasn't God. But Job, confronted with the trial of his life, he said this: naked I came in, naked I go out. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That it's in his hands. And no matter what, God is good. And you know what Paul said about the problems down here? He called it light afflictions. At least, you know, back in the days of the martyrs, when there was the Roman Catholic Church was preaching. Yeah, they weren't preaching. When they were persecuting preachers, they would take people out and they would tie them to a cross. They would make fun. They were sprinkled when they were babies, and they would make fun of their baptism or their conversion to Christ, because then they would go out and they would be rebaptized, and they would tie them to a cross and they would knock them over the river and they would drown in that river. Or the stories that I've heard about persecution of Christians during the 14th, 15th, 16th century, 18th century, people's tongues were ripped out. I mean, think about that. I mean, can you imagine being getting ready to be burned at the stake, and they look at you and say, either denounce the Lord Jesus Christ or we're going to burn you at the stake. That actually happened to real people after Jesus died. And we got a virus. And if that didn't move them, this can't move us. Man. You know what came out of that? A great awakening. Great awakening came out of that. I mean, the gospel spread under persecution. You know why? It's our time to shine. This is our moment in history. How is Christianity going to respond to the coronavirus? And my hope's in the Lord. And I'm sad to say that even myself, catch myself saying, I just got to change. Just wonder how come I couldn't do it 4 weeks ago if I got to deal with this dumb stuff. But man, we could come out of this better people. The church could come out of this stronger. And maybe it's one last stand before Jesus comes. I just don't want to be the one that neglects that. So we can gain some comfort. I've never been through a pandemic before. Apostle Paul is pretty clear on that. That if I let the Lord use this, this could be an encouragement to other people. You know, because we can, you know what every one of you could do tonight? You could go home and take your phone and do a little thing yourself on Facebook. You can let the whole world know where your faith is at in the Lord Jesus Christ. And no matter what, I got to tell my kids. I mean, do your kids, are they asking you questions mine are asking? Are we going to die? I mean, don't worry about it. I just want to know, hey, are we going to die? You know, what's going to happen? Are we going to be able to buy groceries? Why are we got 500 rolls of toilet paper? There's something happening in this world that I don't know about. Why are you doing this, you know? And they need to see inside of us. I'm not trusting in my stock at home. And it's time we start paying him attention. And don't forget about this, because we'll talk about this next Sunday. Anytime in the Bible that you see something happened in this nature. And God says, if my people, which are called by my name, talking to unsaved people, Greg, it's us. If we humble ourselves and cry out to him, he will heal their land. Anywhere I can find in the Bible, anytime this thing was stopped, it was by God. And it was because his people started to do the right thing. And that's just Bible. I mean, we can use this as an opportunity to look at where we're at. We can use this as an opportunity to be a light to other people, to let them know who we're trusting. And I'm going to pray, and then Hunter's got a song to close us out, okay? Okay. Well, why don't you do that, and I'll close in prayer. Yeah.